The first reading is taken from Luke chapter 23, which can be found on page 1060 in the Bible. Luke 23, reading from verse 26. As they led him away, they seized Simon from Cyrene, who was on his way in from the country, and put the cross on him and made him carry it behind Jesus. A large number of people followed him, including women who mourned and wailed for him. Jesus turned and said to them, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me. Weep for yourselves and for your children. For the time will come when you will say, 'Blessed are the barren women, the wombs that never bore and the breasts that never nursed.' Then they will say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if men do these things when the tree is green, what will happen when it is dry?" Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, there they crucified him, along with the criminals, one on his right and the other on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, "He saved others. Let him save himself, if he is the Christ of God, the chosen one." The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. We will continue on. There was a written notice above him which read, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God," he said, "since you're under the same sentence? We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus answered him, "I tell you the truth. Today you will be with me in paradise." It was now the sixth hour, and darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour, for the sun stopped shining, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." When he had said this, he breathed his last. The centurion, seeing what had happened, praised God and said, "Surely this was a righteous man." When all the people who had gathered to witness this sight saw what took place, they beat their breasts and went away. But all those who knew him, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance, watching these things. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Please be seated. David, thank you for playing. Beautifully done, as always. Really appreciate that. I'm going to pray in a few moments' time, but perhaps I could be permitted to just gloss or nuance our hospitality. Sunday, I'm very grateful that so many have joined in. Probably about 140 or a third of our membership. Of course, the gift and reception of hospitality carries on through the year. Not least our newcomers. Tea, early in December. Sarah, remind me of the date. December the 1st, 2 weeks today, in the upper lounge. I can see some new faces here, so you really are most welcome if you can just lodge that a couple of weeks' time. There'll be a tea for you. Let me pray. Father, we pray for the gift of your Spirit as I both speak and as we listen to your word. May these not just be words from the Bible or words from a hymn, but words to each one of us, personally this evening, for our lives at this time. For Jesus' sake, amen. So, friends, perhaps as my prayer is introduced, we're looking at some hymns with reference to the scriptures that they may or may not be based on under the heading Orthodoxy, or as Yolanda has appropriately said, upright praise, or it's to get the praise on the straight and narrow. Shouldn't be weak and wobbly and all over the place, but it's true, it's upright, because if it's not, it will be wrong, it will be floppy, and it will fail you in life. Strictly speaking, orthodoxy means right worship. And we looked at a hymn last week, and we're planning to do something similar this evening. So in a sense, as I've got, you'll need both to have your Bible to hand, and if you want to follow the hymn for this evening, it's My Song is Love Unknown, number 384. And I'm going to offer some reflections from Luke's Gospel, chapter 23, on page 1060. Not 1066, but you'll now remember 1060, Luke chapter 23. My Song is Love Unknown is number 384. It is, if you cast your eyes to the first verse or the first line, My Song is Love Unknown. It's deeply personal. It's my song. And it's so unknown, it's almost incomprehensible to get my mind round or to express with my lips and in my heart. It's my Saviour's love for me. I think this next line, Love to the Loveless Shown, is perhaps a reflection from the book of Hosea, that wonderful story of the loveless prophet who had to, in his relationships, endure great hardship. And it was a parable because the love he wasn't feeling or felt was actually like the heart of God. There was no reciprocity in the human heart for God. And then right at the end, a heartbreaking love song from God in Hosea chapter 11. I love you. And in a sense, the partnership was reunited, and they, as it were, got back together in the prophetic word. My song is love unknown, my Saviour's love for me, love to the loveless shown. Then verse 2, you can sense something of the rejected Christ and the accepted Christ. He came from heaven's throne, salvation to bestow, but they refused, and none the longed-for Christ would know. But the writer to this of this hymn, this was his friend indeed. You could perhaps think of John's Gospel that we'll be hearing read in the Christmas season. In fact, I'm going to speak on it briefly next Sunday evening. Really would value your prayers for that. He came to his own people, but his own people received him not. They refused, and none the longed-for Christ would know. Then in verse 3, you come hot on the heels of the Easter story proper. This hymn is often sung at Good Friday celebrations, or prayers, I perhaps should say. And verse 3 is a reflection, clearly, on Palm Sunday. Hosannas to their King. Crucify is all their breath. And then you come to the brutality, verse 4, of Good Friday itself. The rage and the spite, or you could think, the nails and the wood. And then the earthly ministry of kindness that the Lord had given, despite such cruel treatment. But he made the lame to run and gave the blind their sight. In verse 5 of this hymn we're looking at this evening, Barabbas is mentioned. A murderer they save, but the Prince of Life they slay, willingly to shame he goes. And what a lovely thought then in the last stanza. It's personal again. It's in his sweet praise. In praise of this friend I would my days gladly spend. I'm sure you've listened to the A-Team or watched it. I prefer the old version. And I love Hannibal. He's the chap with the guitar who says, "I love it when a plan comes together." Do you remember that line? Well, we all must know the sense of sweetness and love in our hearts when something works, when there's an act of worship where you feel, I'm not just singing a hymn. Somehow the heavens have opened. And in his sweet praise, I all my days would gladly sing. What a joy to know fellowship moment by moment. For God's plan to come together, of course the road will be rough and steep at times, but he desires there to be sweetness and fellowship with him all the time. Well, before we look at Luke chapter 23, let me introduce, you can see it in Sing Glory, Samuel Crossman. His name is there by the number 384. I didn't know this, but he was a Puritan. If you want to read a book on the Puritans, there's none better than Jim Packer's book. And the title of this book, which is why I'm mentioning it, is Among God's Giants. And the Puritans in the Church of England were some of the hottest, the brightest, and the best. They stood for true orthodoxy. They were so true and honourable and correct. When the Church of England, God bless it, was going weak and wobbly and flaffy, they expelled and sent into exile this dear clergyman, Samuel Crossman, a Puritan. Then 2 years on his lonesome into exile, away from the Church of England, he wrote this poem, "My song is love unknown." And then with tragic irony, and this is a bit of a slap to the Church of England, he regained entry when the Church of England sorted itself out 20 years later. And then 2 years after his death, they decided his hymn was good and right and published it in the hymn book. One might well shake your heads. This was a long time ago, 1600 and all that. But the tune that we know today, that we sing it to, was written by John Ireland, famous hymn writer and composer. And he took this poem and the original tune it was written to out of obscurity and brought it into a tuneful way into common use. And that's the tune that we sung today. John Ireland wrote this in 1925. There'll be a reflection a little bit later on about how you can bring things that are old and dusted back to life and into God's service again. Perhaps just before we look at Luke chapter 23, it's on page 1060. Could I be permitted to mention why this subject that we're looking at this evening is so important to have right belief? And right belief is often carried by the hymns or the songs that we use in church today. And I'm sure you've been conscious that when we sing the modern chorus song, "And in his presence all our problems disappear," I don't mind singing the hymn, and I actually quite like the boppy, syrupy nature of the tune. It makes me feel good. At least I'm honest. But the words are complete tosh. "In his presence all my problems disappear." Well, self-evidently they don't, okay? Because sometimes when I see people come to church and they go out again, they look just the same. They've probably still got the same lot of problems. And I'm head of the queue. So you might well want to think, well, my perspective on my problems might well change. Or we've sung this evening, "What a friend we have in Jesus." A great line and a great tune, but it's a tune that makes you want to sit back, perhaps with a cup of hot chocolate on a sofa and just feel, "Ah, Jesus is there with me." But I've heard it done to another tune where you want to get up and change the world. It puts some verve into your spirit. So orthodoxy and right worship is so appropriate for discipleship. But we're going to think about this hymn in a moment, but cast your eyes to Luke chapter 23, for this is the classic, or one of the classic texts on Good Friday, about which this hymn is a reflection. So first of all, verse 26, as they led him away, they see Simon from Cyrene, who was on his way in from the country, and they put the cross on him and made him carry it behind Jesus. Don't think you can ever say this enough, but some burdens are carried by you for Jesus. So the burdens of others in prayer, the burdens that you bear for those you care for, those God loves, somehow, for Jesus' sake, you are carrying their cross, God's love for them. And what great honour was given to a black man, to Simon from Cyrene, that the very burden of Christ, the tragedy and the travail and the suffering of the world that Jesus was bearing, and will come onto why in a moment, someone else was permitted actually to help Jesus out and to carry his burden. The Christian church and the Christian community is of the brightest and the best and the most compassionate, caring community. They carry the burdens and the prayers and the cares of others. In that sense, we all, if we have concerns for others, are like Simon of Cyrene. My love for the loveless shown, and in the sense we are carrying them and their cross for Christ. So burdens which first of all are carried by you for Jesus, and then secondly burdens which are borne by Jesus for you. Look at verse 34. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. There is no developed doctrine of the atonement in Luke chapter 23. That's to say, you're not told exactly why, for me, Jesus is enduring this brutality, this shame, and this indignity on the cross. All you're left to do is to think about his words. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. In this place, Christ is carrying our burdens, our lack of God, our need for forgiveness. And in this poem of Crossman's, who was later written into a hymn by Ireland, we read, who at my need his life did spend. Jesus' tragedy ultimately becomes the story of our triumph. Without him, we are in a desperate and needy place, unforgiven, without God, and without hope in this world or the next. Burdens which are borne by Jesus for you, and then finally, burdens which are lifted from you by Jesus. Look at verse 43 of this amazing story of the death of Christ. Perhaps I should read verse 40. But the other criminal rebuked him. Don't you fear God, he said, since you're under the same sentence. We are punished justly, for we're getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus answered him, I tell you the truth. Today you will be with me in paradise. Of course it was said then, and it was true then. I'm not disputing the words of Jesus. This is what he said to the criminal on that side. As I die, as you die, on the cross, When I'm in heaven, you will be in heaven with me in paradise. That happened then, but Luke wrote this, say AD 50, into Holy Scriptures, that when we read this, the now of paradise then becomes the now of paradise now. So when we hear those words of Jesus, today you'll be with me in paradise, today when we say, Father, forgive me, I didn't know what I was doing, this Jesus is for me, then our sins are forgiven. Our burdens are lifted by Jesus. And the story of Luke is told almost to divide a line down the human race. Those who accept Christ, those who reject him. My song is love unknown, not known. But I know Christ. The thief accepts him and the other ridicules him. It's the same story in microcosm, writ large. In whose sweet praise I all my days would gladly spend. That sense of pleasing paradise, forgiveness and the presence of God, that the thief would know when he died in heaven, the acceptance of Christ now and his story and his way brings at that time a sense of his kingdom, his forgiveness and the release of our burdens. Perhaps I shouldn't mock at that song, in his presence all my problems disappear. Because in his presence all our burdens are lifted, all our sins are forgiven, we are changed people. No wonder this song and this hymn is such a beautiful love story. Kind of tragic that he had to be exiled from the Church of England to find it. Maybe he found the whole experience so painful. Sometimes out of pain, good comes. And this man trusted Christ surely. Love to the loveless shown, that they might lovely be. I wonder what change Jesus and the burdens lifted will bring to you. May this poem and this hymn even be a story of our lives at this moment. One of the intriguing things I found about this hymn, when it was recomposed to the hymn we've sung this evening by John Ireland, he wrote the tune to this in a staggering 10-15 minutes, almost on the back of an envelope, actually on the back of a menu after he'd had a good meal. Maybe he just enjoyed himself and the wine was helping the tune to come, I don't know. But he was relaxed, it was good, and the tune is there now for us to sing. Knowing Christ loves you, knowing you have a life to live for him, out of love and devotion to him, what would you write in 10 or 15 minutes that would be a tune for him? What would work for you? What is your response of love to the love of Christ that we've reflected on this evening? Of course, you're carrying the burdens and the struggles and the prayers and the cares of many. We're good people. We're Christian people. We're like Simon of Cyrene, carrying it all when we see need and compassion. But we hear Christ speaking to us, Father, forgive them, they don't know what they're doing. Leaving Christ out, not following him. Whatever it is that makes us human, Christ forgives. And when we know his forgiveness, we have that sweet praise upon our lips. What's our response to such love? As a rather quirky, I hope not insensitive visual aid, a back of an envelope is coming round now. And you can just sit and think if you've got a pen. My response to the love of Christ is this. This is what I want to do. This is how I'm going to serve him. It's staggering that just in 10, 15 minutes, this chap wrote a song that's now sung in virtually every Christian church on Good Friday. testifying to the love of God. I wonder what your reflections would be. No one's going to look at it, and we're probably not going to have 10 or 15 minutes. It's a visual aid to make you think that when love is given, there always needs to be a response. Think it through, and Yolanda's going to help me give out the envelopes. Thank you. We did try and get you some menus, but the restaurants round here are rather tight-fisted about giving them out. Keep silence for a few moments, and then I'll say a few more words and pray, and we'll sing and conclude. May I lead you in a prayer. Father, you know what comes naturally to us. You know what we can give of ourselves to you and to others. And as we've reflected on the offering of this hymn of love, so we offer to you our lives and our love in grateful thanks for that wonderful story of the cross, the means by which we know God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Help us as we carry the burdens of others. Help us as we know forgiveness day by day. And grant us liberty and freedom to express our love as you so call. For your dear name's sake. Amen.